right here on KXFM. And we've got company.
Yeah, we got Ramen Pajan. Aloha, Ramen. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Ida May and I are excited to have you to talk about your petition to stop spraying Roundup in South Laguna. How is that going so far?
It's going really well. Yeah, I mean, we're in the middle of gathering signatures now, and a lot of people have been signing it and supporting our effort.
Ramen, you're a lawyer?
Yes.
Okay, tell me a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to law school?
Yeah, thank you. Well,
you're welcome.
I was actually born in Iran, and my family immigrated to the U.S. when I was about two. Then we went to Canada. So I've kind of been all around. But I moved to Laguna Beach about 10 years ago with my wife at the time was pregnant, and she grew up in Orange County. I've been a lawyer now for almost 20 years. I can't believe it. I went to law school.
You're so young. I can't believe
I don't
it
know
either.
About that. In Washington, D.C., at American University. It's called Washington College of Law. I've been practicing environmental law pretty much from the beginning.
And why that interest? Tell me.
I don't know. I mean, it's just something I care deeply about, protecting the environment. I've always cared about environmental issues. And so it just was a natural fit.
And what kind of clients would come to you with, just to give us an idea of an give me an environmental issue that would come to your office.
Well, initially, I actually worked for New York City as an environmental attorney representing the city. So I'm very familiar with, you know, taking the position of government and, you know, trying to deal with different interests. So initially, it was a lot of land use cases. My first case was actually trying to defend the construction of the new Yankee Stadium.
Oh, wow.
Which was, I wasn't super excited about it because it was displacing, it was going to be built on this park where all these community members lived around. But no judge in New York was going to rule against the Yankees. So it was kind of like an easy case in that sense.
Yeah.
Were you split in your feelings towards that?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it's hard when you work for a city, and that's kind of why I understand what's going on here with the Roundup. But, you know, you are challenged a lot in your decisions. There's always someone who's not going to agree with some kind of city policy. So initially, I worked a lot on, like, parks. Even we tried to put in New York a compost facility back then, and that was challenged. So, you know, everything gets challenged. But now I work more on trying to stop offshore oil and gas projects.
Good for you.
Mining projects, things like that. So I've kind of moved on from the local issues.
Well, and land use litigation has got to be huge in this country right now because there's so many misuses of our land.
No, there is, and the main way that you can stop a project or slow it down or challenge it is to challenge the environmental review. So in California, that's CEQA. It's a really important practice, almost any project implicates land use now.
Oh, sure, and we need legal lawyers like you that have their eyes on that.
What does CEQA have to say about the spraying of Roundup in the South Laguna Hills?
That's a more difficult question. At this point, it's not illegal to spray Roundup.
Even though it's banned in foreign countries?
It's banned in a lot of countries and, lots of cities, including Irvine, have banned it essentially from being sprayed on public land. But in Laguna Beach, it's not. And the Coastal Commission regularly approves permits where they're allowed to spray herbicides. So the legal kind of avenue is less clear when it comes to, to like CEQA at least.
Now, the whole purpose is fuel modification, which we are concerned with here in Laguna. The goats have been part of that. There are hand crews that work some of the hillsides to get rid of just the non-native plants because they're the ones that are the most trouble-causing. However, the Roundup kills everything. And how did you come upon folks using Roundup in Laguna?
So initially, I can't remember the exact date, but maybe it was like 4 or 5 months ago. I was walking my dog on the trail near our house, the Valido Trail.
Oh, yeah. And the favorite.
Yeah. And I was with my wife, and we saw 5 or 6 workers basically with these chemical backpacks spraying. There were no signs, no notice, nothing. And the telltale sign for Roundup is it's kind of they put this purplish blue dye. So you kind of know almost immediately that that's what they're doing. And of course, so we went and started talking to the people who were spraying it. And we learned that it was the fire department doing fuel modification. And they had contracted the Laguna Canyon Foundation. And then they had hired this landscape crew, basically. And yeah, I was just completely blown away that they were doing this without any kind of notice.
No signage?
Nothing. And so we, with the help of a few community members who knew Laguna Canyon Foundation better and the city better, we immediately set up a meeting at that point. And, you know, to the credit of the city and Laguna Canyon Foundation, they took it very seriously. They came the next day. There was a pretty big group of people who had shown up concerned.
Are you talking about residents? Concerned residents?
Yeah. And so that was the start.
What does the EPA say about this?
So, yeah, I mean, I wrote an article this past weekend in the Indy. And so the EPA, there's a complicated history with Roundup. I sort of sketched out how Monsanto, who created Roundup and DDT and Agent Orange, their internal papers have been made public through over 130,000 claims against it in the U.S. alone.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so these internal papers, they're called the Monsanto papers. They really show this like history of how Monsanto has meddled with trying to bring that product online. But more importantly, they've ghostwritten a number of studies for independent scientists, and they just put out a huge amount of their own studies that they fund. And so the EPA, when they review the safety of these chemicals, they consider not only what science considers independent peer-reviewed studies, they also consider industry studies. And so it's not surprising that the EPA has sort of come out as saying it's not carcinogenic. There's not a risk. But then there's it's a tale of two stories. On the other hand, the EPA has done an evaluation of the threats of Roundup to endangered species and found that 93% of endangered species are threatened by the use of Roundup. So it's sort of like, they're looking more at the ecosystem impacts and finding a huge problem. But then there's the World Health Organization. They did an assessment of Roundup. Now, this is important. They do not look at industry studies. They only look at science, independent science, peer-reviewed studies. And they came out with the conclusion that it's probably cancerous.
Wow.
So, you know, that's kind of what's going on.
Not to mention the bees and the birds and the rest.
Right? Yeah, and that's just human health. EPA has found, you know, when it comes to impacts or harms to birds and bees and things like that, they are finding it to be hugely problematic.
So problematic that they've got a fund put together from Bayer, who bought the Monsanto product. How much is in that fund?
Yeah, so because basically Monsanto was facing 100,000 lawsuits, and now Bayer bought Monsanto, right, and they took over the liability. They started losing some of those cases to the tune of like $80 million, $60 million. There's a couple who just used it in their homes over decades, and they got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so they started losing these cases. I think they just decided, look, let's settle. So they settled the first 100,000 claims for $11 billion. But now there's 30,000 more claims against them. So,
and they keep spraying. That's the part to me that boggles my mind. So in order to get the people to pay attention, you've got a petition going. What is that? How did you get it started? Where is that going to go?
So there's a group of us in the community. It's not just me, but in South Laguna, quite a large group of people who don't want it being sprayed in our neighborhood. We feel like there's just too much risk. The science is clear, at least, that there is a risk. And in the case, we also feel for fuel modification that if you actually go and see the areas they're removing the weeds, I mean, this, we really believe they could do this by hand. They don't have to spray, you know, toxic chemicals.
Because so you have an alternative to the glyphosate spray. And some examples of that, is that correct? Are people using other methods?
Absolutely. The biggest method that's being shown to be effective is just manually cutting and removing. And if you look at the area, the total fuel modification area, it looks like a large area because it's about 20 acres, but it's actually like parts of that area because there's buffers with homes. They have to also not take out native plants. So we really believe they can do that. And we have examples, like there's Audubon Star Ranch, which manages 4,000 acres.
Where is that?
That's in Trabuco Canyon.
Trabuco Canyon,
yeah.
All right.
So, I mean, it's not identical ecosystem, but very similar in terms of the intact ecosystem.
Yeah, with native plants and mm-hmm. then invasive
and
ones.
Invasives. And there the conservationist Sandy DeSimone and her husband Pete, they've been using manual removal. And just to give an example, with artichoke thistle, which is this very like difficult plant, they started cutting it back 4 times a year only. And in 1 year, they saw that 95% reduction in it coming back the next year. So it just shows that it's possible. And is it going to be easier to use Roundup? Yes, probably.
But it kills everything, and the native plants die too.
Well, they're not spraying the native plants. I mean, to give credit.
I thought they were doing a wide swath and they were just hitting the whole
hillside. No, they're not. I mean, Laguna Canyon Foundation is careful. They're trying to be careful. But our position is that it doesn't matter how careful you are. You're spraying this at the interface where people are walking, where we're walking our dogs along the streets. And it's just, you can't be careful enough. And we really feel like the risk is just too high for our community, for our kids. And like you said, the science is not clear on their side, you know, when it comes to like protecting the soil, the harms to worms, to fungi, to microbiome. All of that is more and more science is now showing that it's actually incredibly harmful to soil. And so our position is just when you have that much science and that much risk, it's better to be safe than sorry. And they should really just not be spraying at all in our neighborhood. And so that's where the petition comes in.
So for just public knowledge, we at KXFM contacted the Laguna Canyon Foundation, and they said, we have no comment at this time. What was interesting to me was that they put people on their board. These are the board of directors who are not on the board of directors, and they are actually some of the people who are behind the petition are listed there as part of the Laguna Canyon Foundation, which says it supports glyphosate. So it's kind of that doesn't look right when you got people there that are not part of that decision.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how, I can't speak to how they are making their decisions internally. I can say that, you know, they have been, you know, willing to discuss things with us, and same with the city. And I really appreciate that. Like I said, I used to work for a city, so I understand. But they just want to compromise and continue to spray Roundup. And this is something we can't compromise on, our health and our safety. And it's just one of those things where, like, Sure, they might say we'll spray less here, we'll avoid this one area, but at the end of the day, we just don't want any spraying in our neighborhood.
How can we accomplish this? What will the petition do? Tell us where we're going to go from here, because I signed that day one.
How do people get a hold of that petition? Yeah. Where do they find it?
Yeah, so initially, you know, we are just focusing on South Laguna because we're not that many people. And we don't have a huge amount of resources. It's hard for us to make it a Laguna Beach issue completely. So we thought, let's just focus on our neighborhood because that's where they're spraying right now. And all, you know, what we're doing is the plan is to get as many signatures as we can. We already have about 200 people just in our community. And I really believe we're going to get to 400 or 500. And I think that's a strong, you know, showing for city council. We're going to submit this to the city council. Basically, the petition says, please stop spraying Roundup in our neighborhood. And I think if we can show 500 people just in South Laguna don't want this sprayed there, I mean, they really need to take this issue seriously. This is not just one or two people here or there or just one angry person. I mean, this is like, you know, a majority of a community.
And you offer solutions, alternates to that, like the people at Tribuco Canyon and their success without spraying.
We believe that that's completely possible. The city and Laguna Canyon Foundation, they're not embracing that. They firmly believe Roundup has to be part of their weed control, part of their native restoration. That's just something we don't agree with. We think there's plenty of examples, you know, and we're hoping to organize in the next 2 months a roundtable that would be public. We're hoping to have two professors from UCI who can really talk to this health and safety of Roundup. But also we're hoping to have people from, for example, Audubon Star Ranch, from the city of Irvine, just to talk about, look, we're not using Roundup. Yes, it's, you know, we have to be a little more creative. It might take a little bit more resources, but we're getting the job done. And that's what we're hoping, that the city council, the public, Laguna Canyon Foundation, they come and listen, you know, to this really great panel that we're going to hopefully put together.
Adam A., this is fantastic to have Ramin Pajan here in the studio to let people know.
You're also a board member of the South Laguna Civic Association. And I see other names that I know well, like Charlotte and Ginger and Cindy Love. I mean, these are all folks that I hang with and a lot of neighbors. I think that's where I recognize you. Do you have kids?
I do. Yeah. I mean, that's part of my, passion for this issue is I have a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. And, you know, the way it started was when I saw where they were spraying, my daughter literally was the day before with me walking there, picking sourgrass and eating it.
Wow.
And if I hadn't been there, there was no sign that they had sprayed there. They were not leaving any sign.
And the purple goes away, right?
It can. If it's diluted a bit, yes, it can go away. I didn't see any purple after about an hour. So, my daughter could easily have the next day been there picking sourgrass. And there's other places in our neighborhood, just off the street, little gorges where they play, little canyons, where they had also sprayed and not indicated at all that they had sprayed there.
And that was my next door neighbor, I'm sure you know him, Ted, and he's got two kids.
Yeah, Ted Reckes. He's on the board with us and also incredibly involved in this process with us.
Oh, he was big help to me, and it's so great having them as neighbors and having kids playing in those canyons. I feel like I've been here for a really long time, and my kids did the same thing, my grandkids too. And I never thought I'd be facing off with Roundup. And you know, California's regulated the gas industry. Why can't we regulate this? I mean, this is, to me, as dangerous.
I'm in complete agreement. I think we regulate a lot of products that are less dangerous even. But in this case, we don't have to wait for California. You know, the city council has the power here to stop it from being used. And that's what we're hoping for, is that they will look at the science, they will listen to the facts, and they will make an informed decision that's for the protection of our community.
Well, how do you feel they're receiving you as is until you get this petition. Are they open to what you are presenting to them?
Absolutely. I think the council members we've talked to, they're open to it. They haven't obviously made a decision, but I think they're willing to listen to us. I think if we are able to get a huge amount of signatures, I think we already have a lot, but even more, I think that's going to be very convincing as well, that it's, like I said, it's a community concern.
Is the fire department dragging their feet at all on this, or they just go with the other folks' decisions?
Yeah, I think the fire department, they're not experts in Roundup. Their goal is fuel modification, and our goal is fuel modification too. I mean, we all live there. We're all, you know, absolutely there's no disagreement that that's critical here. But they are deferring to, you know, who they see as the experts, which is Laguna Canyon Foundation and the city. And so, you know, but of course they should also be informed and part of the process. And yeah, I mean, Chief King, he's been really great and open to talking. But at the end of the day, we just don't disagree. We don't agree on this issue.
Well, I think your piece in the paper is a huge help. This radio show and the fact that we're going to podcast it, I feel like this is the beginning of some real outrage. Just because I know this town and I know South Laguna, I know the community, I know people stood around. I live right next door to Ted, and there's a canyon right there. And there was one morning where we were all just standing around begging them to quit spraying. I mean, there is outrage about this, and it's only just the beginning. I think you've started something and informed folks, and let's see how big this is going to get, because I think it's going to, don't you? I mean, this is a huge issue.
Ramin Pajan, where can people get, is this an online petition as well?
It is not online because at this point, like I said, we're trying to keep it local and, you know, people are putting in their names and addresses. And it's a little bit more difficult to manage that online,
okay.
You know, but I think the next step, once we submit all the petitions from South Laguna, I think we are eventually going to try and do a wider one. And probably online would be very helpful.
And the community alert is that if you see folks in South Laguna at the Gelson's Market or around with a petition board, they're not like paid surveyors that are going around collecting signatures. This is the locals getting something done for the community.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just all busy, and this is just, we're volunteering our own time. And we all live in the neighborhood, and we're just trying to, just as concerned residents, you know, just to make something happen.
Well, thank you for spearheading this. This is just a huge problem and issue, and I am so glad that they've got you, for one thing. A lawyer, that helps. And I'm reading over this. I mean, the people that have won lawsuits, $78 million judgment against,
yeah,
Monsanto. My God, even that alone would stop everybody. And I understand this little town has been all but wiped out by fire. And I remember the fire chief, when we first moved back here from Colorado, he came to us and he said, you got to clean up all this or we will. You know, it's your choice.
Yeah.
And we did it by hand and with help. But they weren't kidding around, and I understand, because he explained to me the science of canyons and wind and fire. And boy, we didn't want to be a part of that. I get that.
That's so good, yeah, that you're behind it too. And with the huge rains we've had, we're going to have huge plants and vegetation growing and becoming brown fuel. So we want to take care of it. I had a question. If they burn the stuff with the spray, what happens to the plant debris that's left? Is that more fuel laying on the ground after it's burned out?
Yeah, so from what I've seen is they apply the Roundup, and they, you know, they could cover huge areas. So they're not spraying it, but they're literally going to each plant and spraying it on.
Okay.
And so it could cover like massive areas, like in the Valido Trail. But yeah, then they remove that, you know, kills the plant over like 3 weeks. and then they remove it manually.
Okay, taking that away.
Yeah, they take away the brush. And so what we're saying is instead of spraying it, because they're still walking around spraying each plant, just cut it before it goes to flower and then remove it the same way. And we think that's completely possible. They might have to come out one extra time, but I think we could find the money in Laguna Beach, you know, for one extra time to come out or two extra times for their crew. And so I don't think it's a resource issue here.
And the way they got rid of that artichoke thistle out there in Irvine, that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the more difficult plants to get rid of, much more difficult than the mustard that we see, which is pervasive, at least in South Laguna. And we have other thistles and things. But again, we really feel like it's possible here to come up with an alternative that's going to meet the fire protection needs.
It might be more work intensive, but it's saving lives. Human lives and then the critters. And not to mention this goes to the ocean, right? I mean, I remember one of the guys spraying said, this doesn't get down to the ocean. Really?
I mean, I have to give a little credit to Laguna Canyon Fountain. They try and not spray when it's about to rain. But again, like we had so much rain and what the studies are showing is that this product does not break down as quickly as Monsanto has claimed. It stays in the soil a little longer than what people are saying. So yes, there is a risk that if it rains, it will get into the creeks. And you know, that's part of it for us. And I think one important thing to keep in mind, Monsanto, now Bayer, they've stopped selling this product to residential people who want to just put it in their homes because of all the lawsuits, right? And 130,000 lawsuits claiming cancer, 80% of those are homeowners. They're not like, you know, agricultural people. This is a huge piece of misinformation because a lot of times we hear like, oh, this is all like farmers in the Central Coast. No, in the Central Valley, it's not. It's homeowners, 80% of those cases. And so if they're pulling it, and we say this in our article, if they're pulling it off the shelf, why can't we pull it off of our shelf here in Laguna Beach and just not spray it at all? I mean, it seems like a complete no-brainer to me.
It's shocking that they're pulling it off the shelves and we're spraying it in our own environment. I just can't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just, it's been tough because we see people who are gardeners, even ecologists who've been just using this product for 20, 30 years and they swear by it and they swear that it's safe. But the science and the facts, they just don't match up. And, you know, I understand if you want to use this product in your own house, go ahead. You can smoke cigarettes, you can drink alcohol, that's all your choice. But when you start applying it in the community where we're walking and everyone's walking, their dogs and children are playing, that becomes a public health issue.
Well, Monsanto is on my bad list since Vietnam, when they let out the Agent Orange everywhere, and the soldiers would be taking showers under these big 50-gallon drums that had Agent Orange in it. So everybody was contaminated there, and one of the few things that's left in Vietnam now, if you go back to visit, are jellyfish babies caused by the deformations of their spraying of the Monsanto's Agent Orange there. And veterans are still trying to get compensation for their diseases. And Monsanto is just waiting for them all to get old and die so they don't have to pay them.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great example. DDT, for years, they said it was safe. And look, that same story, you know. And I'm sorry. I don't trust. I mean, when you look at the papers Monsanto has made public, now you see, like, you don't even have to speculate. You can see that they covered up safety, that they made every attempt to discredit any opposition to glyphosate, to Roundup. I mean, there's a whole scheme. And, you know, you just have to read those papers. It's public.
Boy, they sound like the NRA. I don't mean to get political here. But
tobacco companies.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to look far to see how different, you know, industries in the world have tried to, you know, promote their products, so to say.
Anything else, Ida Maya, that we want to throw in here?
Well, all I want to do is invite you back along the way. Please come and see us over the summer. And I am so glad you're a warrior for this and a lawyer. Those together, they even rhyme. And I think we need you so badly right now in this community to continue this fight. And as this goes forward, how can they at least get in touch with you for the petition, to write letters, anything? That's for sure what we need to hear on the air.
I mean, I'm happy to give my email. That's probably the best way to get in touch with us.
Okay, and what would that be?
So it's my first name, which is Ramin, dot my last name, P, like Paul, Ejan, Pejan, at gmail.com. That's probably the best way.
Okay.
And of course, like you mentioned, there's a coalition of us. There's Ted Reckus, Ginger Wallace, Charlotte,
Masaryk.
Yeah. And others who are, we're basically a team. And so they're doing a ton of work as well, walking around, talking to people. And there's also a petition, a hard copy in the garden, the South Laguna Community Garden.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so people can go sign that as well if they haven't signed it.
Right. South Laguna rallies to save it from the poisons. Ramin Pajan, thank you so much for coming in to the radio show.
Yeah, we really appreciate this fight and that you'd come in early in the morning. We're barely here.
Yeah.
And I don't want to ask you exactly where you live, but I'm on Mar Vista.
Yeah.
You know, right next to Ted.
Yeah.
Right, one house south.
Well, behind the hospital, right?
Yeah. Well, a little, yeah, adjacent, sort of. So.
Yeah, just up Third Avenue.
And you don't have to give me exact, because I don't want somebody coming after you going, hey, I'm from Masato, and I'm going to sit on your door till you back off. But what part of South Laguna?
Yeah, I just live up just on Jewel, like up in that area.
Oh,
just
yeah.
On the way up to your house, basically.
Don't you love South Laguna?
Yeah.
Isn't it great?
I feel completely grateful for finding South Laguna.
They say that Laguna Beach is the soul of Orange County, but the South Laguna is the soul of Laguna Beach.
Yeah, I fully agree with that one.
I agree with you. When we found South Laguna, we were from Berkeley, and when we hit South Laguna, we felt like we'd found the Berkeley of Laguna.
Yeah, I mean, I could see the parallels. I've been there, and I just love the neighborhood, the community. How I've never lived anywhere where I know so many of my neighbors. I walk my dog, and I'm just like, hi, and everyone wants to talk. It's just really a special place. Really.
It is. It's a real community. And that's one reason I call my show Radio Neighboring, because I can't take a walk around that huge loop without neighboring. And I just love
Absolutely.
It. I love that neighboring is a verb and that we all in South Laguna are part of that. And so I'm so happy to meet you. And I can't wait to see you in the neighborhood and meet your family.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and thanks for having me. It's really been a great opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Well, we want you back because we would like you live on the air to report in on what's going on. You know, it's great to sort of have our finger on the pulse with
you. And
you
can call in 949-715-5936 and just give us updates, too, if that's more convenient than coming into the studio. It's been so excellent to have you here.
Yeah, come back.
Thank you. I will. And I hope when we organize this public roundtable discussion that, you know, I could come back and just mention
it.
That would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. And any discussions you want to bring with, you know, we got a lot of mics and it's open for you anytime.
For folks that, you know, we're going to be we're recording the show right now. We're going to podcast it before noon today at kxfmradio.org, and you can send other folks there for this discussion.
Thanks for all the information. It's just been a pleasure to have you on.